This is part two of the podcast for Wednesday, April 10th, 2019, Theories of Knowledge. Mm-hmm. So we just saw a clip from The Matrix. What did you think?
Good movie.
It is a good movie. If you haven't seen it yet, I'd suggest you look at it. Sorry if there are any spoilers. It's been 18 years since it's come out, something like that, the first one. So a lot, the guys that wrote the screenplay, they're, immersed in philosophy, and you can tell they're thinking about Descartes, they're thinking about the allegory of the cave. There's a lot of stuff in there about, at the end, he says, all I have to offer you is the truth. And it's the red pill, blue pill thing. So the red pill, you wake up to the true reality. The blue pill, you believe whatever you want to believe. And that, in a way, is it's a metaphor for philosophy, where you start thinking critically about your life, about your culture, about your previous beliefs, and it gets tough after a while because it can cause a lot of stress with your friends, with your loved ones, with beliefs that you might have that are comforting, that you're like, oh, I don't really have any evidence for those. Maybe I need to junk those beliefs that gave me comfort or pleasure or what have you. Sometimes there are beliefs about yourself that are unpleasant to confront. So that this choice of the red pill or the blue pill is a choice to be a philosopher, to think critically and analytically, to escape from the cave, or to live just your life based on appearances, based on your personal beliefs, based on your preconceived notions about the world, and not to think too hard or too deeply about anything. So then the question is, the overall question we're looking at is, how do you know the Matrix isn't real? How do you know the arch deceiver isn't out there trying to get you? How do you know you're not a brain in a vat? So Descartes' starting point for knowledge here is what actually would be good for a quiz. Take out a sheet of paper. I think I'm going to collect these, but just see how you're doing. So some of this will be based on the reading. Some of this will be based on what we talked about in class today. You can keep these. So scrawl whatever you want on them, and I'm going to send around. I don't know. It doesn't matter what number it is. I'm giving you credit for each time you've been here. So, if you like it, quiz three with four. I don't know what it is.
Did we ever get the quiz from last class?
No. If you want those, I got them all in my office still. So the first question is. So what's Descartes' answer to how do I know I exist? Hold your question, write it down. So Descartes, how do I know the arch deceiver isn't fooling me and thinking that I exist when I don't exist? Okay, so how do I know I exist is the one question one. And then the question is, how do I know the arch deceiver doesn't exist? That's a little tougher one. How do I know the arch deceiver doesn't exist?
For number two.
So question one, according to Descartes, how do I know I exist? And for question two, how do I know the arch deceiver doesn't exist? All right, so how do I know I exist? How do I know the arch deceiver doesn't exist? And then, let's see, grab one of these. Question three, is Descartes a skeptic? Is Descartes a skeptic? So this is is in the text. And just make a judgment based on, and then why or why not? So is Descartes a skeptic? Why or why not? You might say, is he a true skeptic? Why or why not? Okay. Next question, question four.
Didn't we ever get to question one or two?
Question one is Descartes a skeptic? Sorry, no, question one is, get back to the beginning. Question one is, how do I know I exist? I'm going to write these up here. Make sure. Nope, this is just write out the answers. Doing the things a little different from last time. How do I know I exist? How do I know the arch deceiver doesn't? And the third question was, Descartes a skeptic? Maybe we'll just stop there. Is Descartes a skeptic? So let's start with question one. How do I know I exist according to Descartes? Yeah.
I think therefore I am.
I think therefore I am. And what does that mean?
Even if I am being deceived, that I have to exist for something to deceive me.
Excellent, right? So if I'm being deceived, I could be deceived about everything, but I can't be deceived in thinking that I don't exist because I do. Because in order for me to be deceived, there has to be someone who's being deceived, right? So at least I exist as a deceived entity, if you like, a conscious entity, an entity capable of doubt. I mean, Descartes might have even said, like, I doubt, therefore I am. That might actually, maybe it's not quite as catchy, but so doubting is a form of thinking. And so what am I? Being which wills, which thinks, which considers. And so that's that. I know that at least that I exist as a thinking thing. Now, he hasn't proved he has a body or the material world is real, his senses are reliable, any of that stuff. But he has proved that he exists, because if the arch deceiver is deceiving him, then he has to exist as the object of the arch deceiver's deception. Right, so that's the importance of the I think, therefore I am. And that's Descartes' foundation for knowledge, is this intuition that if you, in doubting your own existence, you prove it. Yeah, and make this short, please, because it's a couple of
minutes left. Is there any criteria to existing other than just existing? Within that idea?
That sounds like an off-hours question. Descartes was just talking about existing, not physical existence. He's talking about existing as a consciousness, right? So if I doubt my existence, then and I wonder if there's an arch deceiver out there, and it really turns out that there is an arch deceiver who's deceiving me, then I have to exist as a deceived being.
Without any evidence existing beyond existing, right?
Well, evidence is different. It is a different thing. We're talking about, like, do I exist or not? So if there's an arch deceiver and he's deceiving me, then by pure logic, I exist as the object of the arch deceiver's evil scheme to give me false beliefs, right? So logically implies that if there's an arch deceiver who deceives people, including me, that I exist. Okay, so I think, therefore I am. So that, remember, this is Descartes' foundation for all of knowledge. It's that if you doubt your own existence, you've proved it. Okay, so he's proved his own existence. Now he's wondering, well, is there a material world out there that I am perceiving, or is it all illusion? Back to the dream argument. He's dispensed with the arch deceiver. At least he's proved he exists. Now he's going to wonder if there's a material world out there and whether his senses are reliable. So how does he know, how about the second question, how does he know there's not an arch deceiver? Actually, he hasn't dispensed with the arch deceiver yet. So he's proved his own existence. How does he try to disprove the arch deceiver? This is a little tougher one. Yeah.
Because if there were an arch deceiver, everything he thinks would be wrong. So him being able to think about an arch deceiver would automatically make it wrong.
That might be a good idea. If the arch deceiver existed and he were as smart as he's supposed to be, that seems like I couldn't have any true beliefs. If I have one true belief, then it looks like maybe that there is an arch deceiver, because he would never allow me to have that one true belief. I would never make that connection in my mind if there were an arch deceiver who is like omniscient, all-knowing. Yeah.
If he did exist, we wouldn't be able to think of a concept of the arch deceiver, because he would be a failure then if we knew what he truly was.
Yeah, if you even thought that there could be an arch deceiver, yeah, that's a good thought too, that maybe that might prove that he doesn't exist. Descartes actually proves in a different way. He says, if you think about the concept of God, the concept of God is that of a perfect being, and a perfect being can have no flaws or faults. And he thinks like that being a deceiver would be a fault, because faults include moral faults. And so if there really was a perfect being, he could be no deceiver. So he actually proves God's existence in three ways, and then proves that God exists and then therefore is no deceiver. So that's and he goes in a lot of details about that we'll talk about on Monday, being a bit behind. So on Monday, we'll finish off the Descartes and move into John Locke. There's a roster gone away. Around it. That's okay. Excellent.
So number two, as long as you know that the deceiver is a scenario, you know that genuine knowledge is impossible?
No, we know that God exists and is no deceiver, and therefore, if God's a perfect being, therefore he couldn't be a deceiver, essentially. So we're out of time now. So the answer number three is Descartes is not a skeptic. He's not a skeptic. He asks skeptical questions but doesn't arrive at skeptical conclusions. If you get to the end of the meditations, you'll see that he's not a skeptic at all.